Translation: any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana, and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna, certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. Purport: the incident in which the great witch attempted to kill the child, but was killed herself, is certainly wonderful. Therefore, this verse uses the word adbhutam, meaning specifically wonderful. Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him. Simply by reading these narrations, as they are described in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains salvation from this material world and gradually develops attachment to and devotion for Govinda, Adipurusha. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantika. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you all for coming for this class, and please bless me that I can think of something to say here. So this is the last verse of the chapter about the killing of Putana. And this is the benediction is given by Srila Vyasadeva, that anyone who hears with faith and devotion this pastime attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. So this, the killing of Putana, Putana was actually the first demon killed by Krishna. So it's a very sweet pastime, because Krishna was just a little baby when this event took place. And that's why this pastime, it's stated by the acharyas that this pastime is described as adbhutam, or wonderful, because it's very amazing that this very little, tiny, delicate baby, without changing his form and just remaining in that mood of a baby, he was able to kill this very dangerous demon, this witch. And that's why it's described as adbhutam, very wonderful. And it's very attractive to the devotees, because that mood is maintained, that he doesn't show any anger, he doesn't show his powers as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just maintains that very lovable little baby form. And when Putana actually, I won't go through the whole story, because I'm sure you already know and you've been hearing it from all the previous classes. But when the one amazing thing is when Krishna closes his eyes as well, so he's not even looking at Putana when he sucks out her life air. He's not even looking at her. And I've got a few a few comments here from some acharyas, which I typed out because I couldn't remember them all. So it says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to the Srimad Bhagavatam, gives the following reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. So does anyone know what any of those reasons are? Or like to take a guess? Yes? You shouldn't kill a woman. Yes, that's true. I don't think that's mentioned here, actually. Yes, it is, yeah. To avoid the shame of killing a woman posing as a mother. Yes, you're right. Any other ideas, reasons why Krishna closed his eyes? One was to show his fearlessness as a small child. Another one is to avoid seeing such an auspicious person, to avoid making the violence auspicious by the touch of his auspicious glance, to avoid the shame of killing a woman posing as mother, and to avoid seeing the inauspiciousness of Putana's death. So Krishna, he remained, it's like he remained detached from the whole thing. He, in his baby form, also, you know, when a baby is sucking the breast of the mother, he may sometimes close his eyes. And so he maintained that that baby activity while he was killing this demon, and so that he wouldn't see, so that he wouldn't become involved in the this inauspicious act of killing a woman. And so his mother and Yashoda and Rohini, they were amazed, and all the Brijbasis when this woman changed her form, because originally she was so beautiful that they just let her come in. She looked like a demigoddess. So they allowed her to come in, and but that was actually arranged by Yogamaya for this, so that she could be destroyed. And Krishna, he wanted to protect also his friends, because he knew that she was a child killer, and she'd already killed so many children. And he wanted to protect his friends like Sridham and Sudham from being endangered by her. So that's why he wanted to make sure that she was dead. And her body was cut up into pieces and spread around. And it's explained by Srila Prabhupada that when a snake is killed, usually what they do is they cut the body into pieces and spread them around just to make sure that it doesn't come back into that body. So that's what they did. And then from the burning, there was a beautiful fragrance of aguru scent, because she'd become purified. She'd become liberated by Krishna. And the other wonderful thing about this pastime, which is very attractive to devotees, is how Krishna bestowed such a high liberation on Putana. Because all the other demons, they were given liberation, impersonal liberation. But Putana was actually given a position as Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. And even though she came to kill him, she was given that position because Krishna, he accepted her as a mother, because she gave her breast to feed him. He accepted her as a mother. And he gave her this eternal position as his nurse in the spiritual world, on the same level as his mother's. So this is also certainly very wonderful, because if a demon can be given such a position, what to speak of devotees who are actually serving Krishna directly. is certainly very amazing. The mercy of Krishna is very, very amazing. And there are, in this pastime, it's explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda in the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita that the twofold nature of Krishna's activities. So in Goloka Vrindavan, there is the Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela primarily refers to the Astakalya Leela, or the sweet exchanges with the inhabitants of Vrindavan performed in the eight periods of the day. Then there are also, in the earthly sphere, in Gokula Vrindavan, there are the occasional pastimes called the Naimitika Leela, which coincide with the Astakalya Leela. So these, this kind of pastimes, when Krishna kills a demon, is actually performed in his earthly pastimes because demons cannot enter into the spiritual world. So there's no demons in Goloka Vrindavan. There's only rumors about demons. That's the furthest they get there, is in the form of rumors. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he writes, that Krishna going from and returning to Vraja and his killing of demons are occasional pastimes. So there's the killing of demons, and also when he goes out and back, like when he goes to Mathura and back to Vrindavan, when he goes to Dwarka, that's also called occasional pastimes. Naimitika Leela. So these occasional pastimes of Krishna are unavoidable for the devotees still living in the material world. They are present in Goloka in an indirect way, but present fully only within the material world. Furthermore, the occasional pastimes, which are unfavorable to unbroken meditation upon the daily eightfold pastimes, have a symbolic significance for the instruction of the aspiring devotees. By remembering these pastimes, the devotees aspire to destroy their own sinful conduct. So each of the demons killed by Krishna represents one of the anattas, and this has all been described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But the amazing thing is that that even though this pastime is considered to be one of those occasional pastimes, is still the benediction is given here. In this verse, that anyone who invests his hearing in this kind of pastime, anyone who hears with faith and devotion about this particular pastime, attains attachment for Govinda. So the same result is there, whether we are hearing the Nitya Leela pastimes or the Naimitika Leela pastimes, still we get the same benefit of becoming more attached to Krishna, of becoming attracted to Krishna. Because hearing about Krishna is the most important activity for our purification. Like Prahlad Maharaj describes the 12 types of bhakti, and Shradhanam Kirtanam is the first. Shradhanam is the first, and then Kirtanam. Kirtanam includes Shravanam. Sorry, Shravanam. Kirtanam includes Shravanam, but Shravanam comes first because it's actually the most important. Whether we hear by attending class, whether we read, we can hear. Like nowadays, we have so much technology that we can use to hear about Krishna. So hearing is really important because it's a nourishment for the consciousness. Like, we're very careful about the food that we eat, that everything should be pure vegetarian, that everything should be offered to Krishna. because we want to purify the body and the soul by taking prasadam, by nourishing the body with prasadam. So similarly, the consciousness is nourished by hearing about Krishna. Because the more we hear, the more we understand about Krishna, the more we remember his pastimes, then the more we become attached to him and attracted to him. And in this way, it's like the only way that we can become freed from our material attachments, from our material desires. So that's why it's always stressed in the Bhagavatam and by Srila Prabhupada, the importance of Shravanam. So when we hear, just listening to ordinary music or ordinary movies or things like that, then that doesn't really help us to purify the consciousness. Because it's like whoever we hear about, we think about, we remember. So we have to really make an effort to try to hear about Krishna as much as possible so that we can remember him, because the chanting, of course, chanting the holy names, chanting our rounds is very important, but also hearing about Krishna's pastimes really should go on together with that, because that way we become more and more attracted, because we can't become attracted to someone if we don't really know much about him. But when we, that's why Krishna has performed all these pastimes and these books have been written, so that we can keep on reading and hearing and remembering these pastimes and become more and more attracted to Krishna through his beautiful pastimes. So this is one such pastime. So the symbolism that is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he says that by remembering these pastimes, the devotees aspire to destroy their own sinful conduct. So according to Bhaktivinoda, Putana represents the deliberately deceptive guru. A false guru. Because she appears in a very beautiful form, very attractive form, but then inside she has a deadly purpose. Her purpose, what's going on inside her heart is completely different to the appearance. So she, in this way she cheated. She apparently cheated Yashoda and Rohini to allow her to enter Krishna's bedroom. And it was described in the Bhagavatam that she was a sharp sword in a soft sheath. So she represents the deceptive guru who teaches either sense enjoyment, bhukti, or liberation, mukti, as the ultimate goal of life. Nowadays there are so many bogus gurus who are teaching these things instead of teaching bhakti. He also equates Putana with pseudo teachers of religion who emphasize religious organization and clerical conventions at the expense of true spirituality and genuine religious values. He says that the idea of an organized church in an intelligible form marks the close of the living spiritual movement. The great ecclesiastical establishments are the dikes and the dams to retain the current that cannot be held by any such contrivances. So Bhaktivinoda was actually criticizing, he used the word church rather than temple here, although it could be applied to temples as well in some cases. But he must have known about the Church of England, since India was part of the British Empire, and churches were being opened up in India as well by Christian missionaries. So he said that sometimes the institution can actually... the Christian churches are a great example of how the institution can actually stop the current of a living spiritual movement. So that it's very important that the spirituality has to be, should not be blocked by any kind of rules and regulations of the institution. So although we need institution, of course, Srila Prabhupada set up the institution of ISKCON temples and management hierarchy, etc. But we have to be careful that all this and all these rules and all this hierarchy should all be used to promote Krishna consciousness and the missionary activities and not to block them in any way. Srila Bhaktivinoda says that as soon as a theistic disposition proper makes its appearance in the pure consciousness of the awakened soul, the Putanas are decisively silenced at the very earliest stage of their encounter with the newborn Krishna. So in other words, he's saying that when Krishna consciousness is awakened in the soul, when a genuine guru is guiding the soul, then the Putana is silenced. The representatives of Putana are silenced. So for Bhaktivinoda, Putana represents the fake guru that deliberately deceives his disciples. And perhaps even more importantly, Putana also represents falsity within, worldliness and desire for sensual pleasures. So to protect the newborn affection of devotees for him, Krishna appears to kill Putana, or the insincerity within. And it's written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that no adverse effects of the empirics can dissuade any person from exclusively following the truth when he, Krishna, actually manifests his birth in the pure cognitive essence of the soul. So in other words, he's saying that when Krishna consciousness is awakened in the soul, then false gurus, people who are trying to misguide aspiring spiritualists and lead them onto mundane goals, they become silenced by real Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktisiddhanta also equates Putana with religious careerists. That means that those who are pretending to be devoted, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram, Jai Shri Shri Gonitai. So the religious careerist means those who are pretending to be devoted and with an intention to deceive, they use a religious institution to fulfill their selfish motives. Veneered in humility, faithfulness, and loyalty to God, their only motive is public reputation, desire for name, fame, or high position. He makes it clear that one does not need to go on a crusade against them. Rather than fighting against the demons, Bhaktisiddhanta warns one has to fight for God in oneself. So because all of us, none of us are pure, so if we start looking at the faults of others, then that doesn't help us. And he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 11:28-2, that says, "Whoever indulges in praising or criticizing the qualities and behavior of others will quickly become deviated from his own best interest by his entanglement in illusory dualities." So we have to be very, very careful not to become engaged in criticizing. Even praising is also not good in the sense that if it's overly done, because they're like two sides of the same coin. That's the duality. When we start, in other words, when we start judging or somehow valuing whether we undervalue or overvalue what we see in others, others' qualities, others' behavior, then this is not good for our spiritual life because we become entangled in these dualities which are illusory. Because ultimately we're all in the same position, that we're all striving to make advancement. And we've all got our own demons that we are fighting with. And so the best thing is to concentrate on fighting our own demons and improving ourselves. And in this way, we can also inspire each other rather than judging each other. So that's something really important. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him, so he's making it general. The verse is discussing specifically the killing of Putana, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada then makes this general, that he says that Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him. That they're all, actually all his narrations are wonderful, in other words, all his pastimes are wonderful. And simply by reading these narrations as they are described in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gains salvation from this material world and gradually develops attachment to and devotion for Govinda Adipurusha. So Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions the Krishna book here because he had completed the Krishna book before he completed the Bhagavatam, which, as we know, he didn't actually manage to complete the 10th canto. But before that, he had completed the Krishna book because the Krishna book is just the 10th canto, and because these are the pastimes specifically about Krishna in Vrindavan and his other Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and all his most intimate pastimes, especially in Vrindavan, with his intimate devotees, because Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have these pastimes as more important than any of the others. And in this purport, he's encouraging us to read these pastimes from the Krishna book in order to develop attachment to and devotion for Govinda. So normally it's recommended that we read the first 9 cantos before the 10th canto, and that's the recommended system. But the 10th canto is, of course, the most important, because we are devotees of Krishna. This is the society for Krishna consciousness rather than the consciousness of any other of the avatars, because Krishna is the original supreme Adipurusha, because he's the supreme original person. And that's referring to the Brahma Samhita, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So it'd be nice to have some question and discussion, so I think I'll stop there and see if there's any questions or comments so far.